ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्। देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नास्तप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवते उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 13, Descriptions of the Descendants of Dhruva Maharaj, Verse 8 and 9. Atmanam Brahma Nirvanam
Atmanam Brahma Nirvanam
Pratyashtamita Vigraham Avabodha Rasikatmyam आनंदम अनुसंतनम अव्यवचिन्न योगाग्नि। नाइन इज देयर, जस्ट एट इज देयर। आत्मनाम ब्रह्म निर्वाणम प्रत्यष्टामित विग्रहम अवबोध रसिकात्म्यम् आनंदम अनुसांतनम् आत्मनाम ब्रह्म निर्वाणम् प्रत्यष्टामित विग्रहम् अवबोध रसिकात्म्यम् आनंदम अनुसांतनम्। Word for word meaning, Atmanam, self, Brahma, spirit, Nirvana, extinction of material existence, Pratyatmita, seized, Vigraham, separation, Avabodha Rasa, the mellows of knowledge, Eka Atmyam, oneness, Anandam, bliss, Anusantatam, expanded, Avyavachinna, continuous, Yoga, by practice of Yoga, Agni, by the fire, Dagda, burnt, Karma, fruitive desires, Mala, dirty, Asaya, in his mind, Swarupam, constitutional position, Avarundhana, realizing, Na, not, Atmana, then the Supreme Soul, Anyam, anything else, Tada, then, Aikshata, so. Translation, by expansion of his knowledge of the Supreme Brahman, he had already attained liberation from the bondage of the body. This liberation is known as Nirvana. He was situated in transcendental bliss and he continued always in that blissful existence which expanded more and more. This was possible for him by continual practice of Bhakti Yoga, which is compared to fire because it burns away all dirty material things. He was always situated in his constitutional position of self-realization and he could not see anything else but the Supreme Lord and himself engaged in discharging devotional service. Translation, please repeat. By expansion of his knowledge, of the Supreme Brahman, he had already attained liberation from the bondage of the body. This liberation is known as Nirvana.
He was situated
in transcendental bliss.
In transcendental bliss.
And he continued. Always in that blissful existence.
Which expanded more and more.
This was possible for him. By continuous practice of Bhakti Yoga, which is compared to fire, because it burns away all dirty material things.
He was always situated
in his constitutional position of self-realization.
And he could not see
anything else but the Supreme Lord.
And himself engaged in discharging devotional service.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. These two verses explain the verse in the Bhagavad Gita 18.54. Brahma Bhuta Prashanatma Na Sochati Na Kankshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed towards every living entity. In that state, he achieves pure devotional service unto me. This is also explained by Lord Chaitanya in his Sikshastika in the beginning of the first verse. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam shreya kairava chandrika vitarnam vidyavadu jivanam. The Bhakti Yoga system is the topmost yoga system, and in this system the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the foremost performance of devotional service. By chanting the holy names, one can attain the perfection of nirvana or liberation from material existence, and so increase one's blissful life of spiritual existence as described by Lord Chaitanya, Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. When one is situated in that position, he no longer has any interest in material opulence or even a royal throne or sovereignty over the whole planet. This situation is called Viraktir Anyatra Sayat. It is the result of devotional service. The more one makes advancement in devotional service, the more one becomes detached from material opulence and material activity. This is the spiritual nature, full of bliss. This is also described in Bhagavad Gita 2.59, Param Drishva Nivartate. One ceases to take part in material enjoyment upon tasting superior blissful life in spiritual existence. By advancement in spiritual knowledge, which is considered to be like blazing fire, all are burned to ashes. Stage. Even though he understands that he is the Supreme Lord, that Ishwara Ishwara Gnani, his Lord, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but still he thinks, he needs me. I am going to provide him, I can satisfy him better. So that is Madhurya Gnana. So as it is mentioned here of a devotee, Bahunam Janma, Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Janmanamante Gnanvan Prapadyante Vasudeva Sarvam Iti Samatma Sudurlabha. So this devotee that is Utkala is mentioned here, right from his birth he was detached. So that is the mercy of the Lord, and that mercy does not come automatically. So there are three kinds of devotees mentioned. The first kind of devotee is the sadhaka. The eternal devotees, we'll mention. So in the eternal, in the spiritual world, there are three kinds of devotee. The first kind of devotees are the Nitya Siddha devotees, those who are eternally situated in the spiritual world. They never fall down. So they are the associates of the Lord. The second level of devotees are Sadhana Siddha devotees. The sadhana siddha devotees are the devotees who have practiced sadhana and became perfect. And the third kind of devotees are the kripa siddha devotees. These kripa siddha devotees are the devotees who have been given mercy of the Lord and who have attained spiritual world. So we see in this case, Utkala, it is not mentioned how he came to this stage, but it is the mercy of the Lord. As we see, there are other examples also of Kripa Siddha devotees, like Parikshit Maharaj. There is no mention of how he got the mercy of the Lord, that Lord himself protected him. in the womb. He gave him darshan in the womb. So, whereas on the other hand, we heard the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was sadhana siddha devotee because he practiced austerity. He practiced sadhana and came to the platform where Lord gave him darshan. Obviously, there is mercy. Still, the mercy of the Lord is there. But there is sadhana also. So, there are three kinds of devotees are there. And Prabhupada here mentions that these three kinds of devotees, when we progress in our spiritual life, there we experience bliss. So, the characteristics of devotional service is, when one starts devotional practice, there is Kleshagni and Subhada. So first, Kleshagni means all the material distress is burnt up. And then auspiciousness comes in, like everything becomes auspicious, Subhada. So it is mentioned these two platforms are on the platform of sadhana bhakti. And this Subhada is the joy which a sadhaka experiences. Auspiciousness. So there is joy when everything is auspicious, when you don't have any miseries. That is known as Subhada. Everything is auspicious in your life. And you experience bliss. And that bliss, it is mentioned, is higher than the bliss one experiences in sense gratification. Or in material opulences, or in material things. So that is, it satisfies the devotee. But when devotees progresses further, then two other symptoms, when it comes to the bhava platform, the two other symptoms is manifest. They are known as sudurlabha and moksha lagu krit. So moksha lagu krit is the bliss which a devotee experiences when he comes to the bhava platform. And it is mentioned he was situated in transcendental bliss, and he continued always in the blissful existence. So that is a bliss where a devotee does not care for liberation. There is a verse in the fourth canto, Maharaj Prithu. Actually, I'll just read it. So Maharaj Prithu prays to the Supreme Personality of Godhead that, "My dear Lord, it is if after taking liberation, I have no chance of hearing the glories of the Lordship, glories chanted by pure devotees from the core of their hearts in praise of your lotus feet, and if I have no chance for this honey of transcendental bliss, then I shall never ask for liberation or this so-called spiritual emancipation. I shall simply always pray unto your Lordship that you may give me millions of tongues and millions of ears so that I can constantly chant and hear your transcendental pastimes." So Prithu Maharaj is praying like that if this liberation takes away the service and association of the devotees, then I don't want this liberation. Just give me millions of tongues and millions of ears to chant and hear your glories. So this is the qualification. So this moksha lagukrit is, a devotee does not even care for moksha or liberation. So that is the bliss one experiences in bhakti when he comes to the bhava platform. And then the last two characteristics of devotional service are Sandrananda Visheshatma and Shri Krishna Akarshani. So that Sandrananda Visheshatma is the bliss one experiences in the prema platform when he comes onto the prema level. And it is mentioned that is, one cannot, it's incalculable amount of bliss that one experiences. Sandrananda Visheshatma is continuously, as it is mentioned, is continuously experiencing bliss. The bliss does not break off. In our life, when we are in the sadhana platform, our bliss is fluctuating. We can see spikes of bliss. It's not constant. There are spikes. From time to time, devotees experience these spikes. But when one comes to the Sandrananda platform, or even Moksha Lagukrit platform, these platforms are where the bliss does not, there are no spikes, it's a constant bliss. He does not go back into the material pool. So it is actually Srila Rupa Goswami gives a nice quotation of the bliss that a devotee experiences. So Srila Rupa Goswami says that if Brahmananda or the happiness of becoming one with the Supreme is multiplied by 1 trillion-fold times, it still cannot compare to an atomic fraction of the happiness derived from the ocean of devotional service. So that is the bliss one experiences in devotional service. It's 1 trillion-fold times to the fraction of the ocean of the bliss that one experiences. So that is a comparison of Brahmananda. So now Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, it's interesting, gives a ladder. So first Krishna is explaining, this is the platform that we have to come to. And in Bhagavad Gita, then in chapter 3, he explains the yoga ladder. So in that yoga ladder, first he is bringing a devotee from a person who is a karmi, like living on an animalistic platform. He is bringing them to the platform of karmakanda. He is explaining, first one should perform karmakanda or regulated services. Karmakanda means regulated, either he performs, he should regulate his activities. And from karmakanda he will come to the platform of Sakam Karma Yoga. And Sakam Karma Yoga is the platform where he performs devotional service, but he has got attachment to the fruits and action. He is still Sakam. He chooses, like he is not free from the fruits, nor is free from the actions. He chooses what activities or what services he can do. And then after practicing for the long time, he comes to the platform of Nishkam Karma Yoga, where he is still attached to the fruits of the action, but he is Nishkam, he is not attached to the activity itself, the action is itself. And then from there, he comes to the platform of Jnana Yoga, where by cultivation of knowledge, he understands that he is free now, at this stage, after acquiring knowledge, he is free from the action as well as the fruits of the action. And he practices his devotional service in that with knowledge. And when he advances further, he comes to the platform, it is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains Ashtanga Yoga, where he is meditating on the Lord. He is meditating, and that process, Krishna elaborates that process in the 6th chapter of Dhyana Yoga. And then finally he comes to the platform of Bhakti Yoga. But this ladder, Krishna explains, one can easily take an elevator and go to the topmost level, which is Bhakti Yoga. Krishna says that one has to come to Bhakti Yoga. Even from Ashtanga Yoga, one has to come to Bhakti Yoga. Without coming to Bhakti Yoga, he will not be able to get out of the clutches of Maya. So one has to come to that platform. But if one performs Bhakti Yoga right from the beginning, he does not have to go through this ladder. So that is the elevator which is given. In that elevator it is mentioned, one can perform Bhakti even though he has got no qualifications. It is mentioned, Prabhupada explains in this, one who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. Prabhupada explained, the Bhakti Yoga system is the topmost yoga system, and in this system the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the foremost performance of devotional service. So one has to practice, and in 6th chapter Krishna explains, there is an elaborate explanation of the drawbacks of performing Ashtanga Yoga or the Dhyana Yoga process and how easily this can be achieved by a devotee. So in the 6th chapter there is one important point that is mentioned. Krishna is explaining about the Yoga Rudha stage. What is that Yoga Rudha stage? Where a yogi is completely fixing his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's completely fixed. And then at the end of this chapter, Arjuna says, it is not possible. He's saying, it is impractical and undurable for me to practice this yoga system. It is not possible because the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate and very strong. It is, O Krishna, and to subdue it I think is more difficult than controlling the mind. controlling the wind. So Arjuna is rejecting this process. But then Krishna says, it is possible to control your mind by Abhyasena and Vairagya. So what is Abhyasena? By practice. And Vairagya means?
Detachment.
But still Arjuna is not convinced that even by Abhyasena and practice and detachment, one can control the mind. So he's asking for the loophole. Okay, what happens if the person does not complete his sadhana, is not able to control at the end of life, then he has missed out on both the things. Then Krishna says, okay, no, that's fine, but he will still get another chance. So Arjuna is looking, he's not convinced about Abhyas and Vairagya, he will be able to control the mind. So imagine if Arjuna is saying this, he will not be able to control the mind by Abhyas and detachment, Abhyas and Vairagya. What is our position? So it's very difficult. So finally, Krishna says that Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamomata. So shraddhavan bhajate yomam. Krishna is saying the process of devotional service is so strong that by performing the devotional service, Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana, he will be able to reside. The yogi, he is a supreme yogi, he will be able to reside in me. And the beginning of 7th chapter, he says, Maya Sakta Mana Partha Yogam Injan Madashraya Asam Sam Samagramam Yatha Nyasi Tach Srinu. So he is emphasizing in the 7th chapter, opening verse itself, Krishna is emphasizing the process of hearing, Tach Srinu. So by Tach Srinu, Maya Sakta Mana Partha, a devotee will be able to become, attach his mind onto me. So this is the process. And we see the whole 7th to 12th chapter, Krishna is explaining the process of devotional service. Different processes are explained. And in the 12th chapter, he gives the conclusion then, which is the end of Bhakti Yoga section. So in that chapter, he gives a conclusion like, a topmost person is he who continuously meditates on me, uses all his intelligence in serving me. He's the topmost. And he's talking about people who are on the Raganuga platform. And he says, if one is not able to do that, then what he should do? He should perform sadhana bhakti. He should perform regulated activities. He should regulate his activities, perform all the rules and regulations. He should follow all the rules and regulations. Even if one is not able to do that, then one should work for him, work for Krishna. So the topmost platform is if one can continuously meditate on the Lord. If you are not able to do that, the second platform is saying, you do sadhana bhakti, you devote all your activities, you follow all the rules and regulations. If you are not able to do that, then at least, even if you are working outside, work for Krishna. Give the fruits, offer the fruits, results of your activities to Krishna. And finally he says, even if you are not able to do that, then at least work with detachment. At least cultivate renunciation and cultivate knowledge. So these are the two processes he explains. Then by cultivation of knowledge, you will come to me. You will eventually grow up in the ladder. So the process that we have been given by Srila Prabhupada is very important. Cheto Darpanam Marjanam, Prabhupada quotes this verse, Bhava Mahadavadni Nirvapanam Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vittarnam Vidyavadu Jivnam. And he emphasizes the process of chanting the holy names of the Lord. And it's in Harinam Chintamani, this process is explained in depth, the chanting process is explained, in which Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains how pramada or laziness or our distaste for the holy name is the cause of all the offenses that we commit. And the first reason he explains is, first reason he gives, for pramada or distraction is audashina. Audashina means distraction from our chanting. So when a devotee is chanting, is distracted, So he's distracted by different items in the practice of his sadhana, japa, chanting. So it is mentioned audasina. Which means indifference. The example given is like if you have invited someone to your house, and when the guest comes and is speaking to you, and you are not paying attention to that guest, you are looking outside or you are speaking on the phone. So that is kind of an insult to the guest. I agree. So that is a distraction. That is being indifference. That is an offense. That is an offense while chanting the holy names of the Lord. And in that audasina indifference, one loses the taste for chanting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains how one can get that taste back by chanting in the association of the pure devotees, or chanting in the association of the devotees who have got taste. One can get that, overcome this offense of indifference. The second indifference he's saying is laziness, which is jadya. And this is when one is chanting, he is chanting with dull mind, he is not paying attention, he is sleepy, he is too tired. So even that causes distaste for chanting and interrupts his japa. And how can we overcome this? By associating with devotees who do not waste time and who are enthusiastic about chanting. And the third distraction which Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains is vikshepa, or distraction itself. It's like when one begins the process of chanting, he gets lot of, as it is mentioned, the characteristics, as we mentioned before, the two characteristics of devotional service are Subhadha and Kleshagni. So when those things happen, when we start the process of chanting, we get lot of toys. So the example is given, when a child is crying, the mother is doing some work in the kitchen, what will the mother do? Mother will come to the child and give him some toy to play with. And the child is playing with that toy. And after a while, the child is bored with that toy, so he again cries. So the mother comes back and gives another toy. And then goes back into the kitchen and works. So similarly, mother keeps on coming and giving different toys so that the child becomes engaged in those activity. So even chanting or Mayadevi gives us different toys. And that is distraction to our spiritual life or distraction to our sadhana. So Mayadevi gives us these toys so that we can become, it is mentioned when one becomes this vikshepa, one makes them attracted to woman, wealth, position, success and cheating propensity. So this is how because of those attachments, we are not able to chant attentively. And the remedy for this is to observe the festival days of Ekadashi, Janmashtami, Radhashtami and all the Vaishnava Tirubhavas. On Ekadashi day, one should fast and one should day and night sing the glories of the Lord. So these are the different remedies which are given when one chants, and which can overcome these remedies, which can overcome this distractions. So finally, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that one of the problem, there are no other problems in our life. The only problem, there is actually only one problem facing everyone. That is how we can attain Krishna Prem. So that should be our main focus. How we can attain Krishna Prem. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, if one comes to the platform of searching for Krishna, only then he will be able to overcome all this distraction and be able to chant with bhava or attentiveness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives an example how one can chant in different ways. It is explained one should chant in the association of pure devotees, or one should chant with Tulsi Maharani. The other remedy Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains is one should chant in a remote place where there is no distraction. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself had a room made with thick doors so that the noise from outside cannot disturb him. One other thing Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions is like one should cover his face and ears and chant in dark place, which might not be suitable for everyone. One might go to sleep in these days, but this is another way one can. The whole point is one should not be distracted while he is chanting. So these are the different remedies he is mentioning. And finally, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions this, there has to be attraction. If one is not enthusiastic, if one is not attracted to the Lord, then he will not be able to advance. He will never have a taste for chanting. So these are different means by which one can chant attentively, and only by the process of attentive chanting one can please the mercy of the Lord and the devotees. So we will stop here if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu.
Why do Uttanapada favor Suruchi more?
Why did Uttanapada favored Suruchi more? Okay, so there is always, when you have got multiple wives, there will always be one wife is favorable and the other wife is not so favorable. So this is the position of a living entity. A material living entity, Jiva, cannot reciprocate with everyone simultaneously. Whereas we've seen opposite case in the case of Krishna. You know how many wives Krishna had? How many?
16,000?
108. But Krishna was reciprocating with each and every wife exactly similar. He was satisfying all the queens. So that is why it is recommended that in Kali Yuga, one should not have more than one wife. It's better if you don't have a wife, but if you have, then you shouldn't have more than one. Because it's not possible for living entities to reciprocate or satisfy anyone as Krishna does. So Bhagavatam teaches us from time to time, and these are the people in Satyuga who were much more powerful and had much more control over their mind. Even they were not able to do justice to two wives or other persons. How is it possible that we can do any justice? Got the point? Yeah, it's better to be a brahmachari, but if we are not able to be a brahmachari, because we have to understand, in Kali Yuga, to control one mind itself is very difficult. Imagine if you have got a wife, how many minds do you have to control?
Two.
And even imagine if you have got two kids or one or two kids, how many minds you have to control?
Three, four,
right? Arjuna is saying even to control one mind is more difficult than controlling the wind. And imagine we have to control 3-4 minds. Yeah, very difficult, right? So in Kali Yuga it's better that we have only one mind. Try to manage one. Yes, Prabhu. Is on page 15 of Nectar of Devotion. Page 15 of Nectar of Devotion. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.